All right, moving forward, we're talking San Diego Padres, and who do I talk to when I need to talk about the Padres is Craig Elston. He is the host of Make the Padres Great Again podcast, plus you can read on him on Twitter at 619sports. Welcome in, Craig. How are you doing on a Labor Day?
Doing great. It's a little bit less than the 109 that it was out here yesterday, so feeling like we're in San Diego again.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's warm up here in Northern California. Of course, the Padres just came in here and took two out of three from the Oakland A's. Now the Rockies are in San Diego for three, and then the Giants come in for a four-game series next weekend. I know we always talk about the offensive side, but I want to talk about the pitching side. And that starts with the starting rotation. Now, of course, the trade for Mike Clevinger comes in, and Chris Paddock goes to number two, Garrett Richards, Zach Davies, and Larrett Dinelson. Am I saying it right? Dinelson. Okay. And he's really a rookie. He's 21 years old. Let's talk about this starting rotation. If you had a three-game series, who do you think would be bounced out of that?
Well, it's a question that's absolutely on the minds of Padres fandom these days, which is certainly a welcome change from many of the years past. No one was thinking about a playoff rotation. But I'll tell you what, this is not only an engaging but a somewhat controversial topic in and around the world of the Padres, because the man who was the opening day starter, Chris Paddock, is indisputably pitching the worst of the group, and is, I think, I mean, certainly based on merit, and I think what will happen in real life will match merit, is that Paddock is right now the odd man out to pitch in, for example, that wild card series, that best of three series. I think the number one would be Dinelson Lamet, without question. He's got ace stuff. He's got the 99 fastball that touches 100. He's got the wipeout slider that's one of the best pitches by metrics in all of baseball. And, you know, he's a guy who routinely is into the fourth or the fifth inning without having allowed a hit when he's right and he's on his stuff. He's been right far more often than not. I think the guy who we need to talk about more than we do is Zach Davies, because in today's world of, you know, high velo being the absolute answer, if you're an old school baseball fan, you kind of have to be a Zach Davies fan, because here's a guy whose fastball regularly sits around 88 miles an hour, but he locates not to a Maddox level, but kind of Maddox light, and his changeup dances out of the zone, and he gets more swings and misses on pitches out of the zone than almost any other pitcher in baseball. He's a right-handed version of Dallas Keuchel. He's a king of soft contact. And Davies would be either the number two or, with Clevinger, number three pick right now for that Padres playoff rotation. And I tell you what, Garrett Richards stepped up with seven innings, three-run ball, and looked very good. Didn't walk anyone on a hot day in Oakland yesterday. So Richards as well, I think, could even potentially be a playoff four. And Paddock, with that fastball-changeup combination, you know, would hope to get a little bit of his fastball back by shelving his cutter and curveball and just going all out in relief.
You know, you're absolutely right about Zach Davies, Craig. I love watching him pitch. He remembers, you know, a little bit of Hendricks from the Cubs. You threw Maddox in there, a guy that locates, keeps the ball down, changes speed, changes arm angle once in a while, but picked him up from the Brewers, and I thought he fit in right there. 6-2 in the spot in the starting rotation. Chris Paddock just kind of confused me. Last year had a real good year. This year it's just been topsy-turvy. He can't get a consistent start where he comes back to back on. And I would say that's the same thing. I think Clevinger is really fit in a great hole for the Padres, and you got him for a couple years. I watched his start here in Oakland. I thought he threw the ball well. Didn't get any, or was it in Oakland, or I'm trying to think where his Angels.
It was against the Angels. Yeah,
that's
the Angels.
And he threw the ball well. The Padres just didn't get any runs for him. He lost 2-0, but I thought he threw the ball well that day, and so did the Padres. A lot of high fives. They really accepted him extremely well. And what do you think about him? What did you think of his first outing?
Well, he gave up a lot of leadoff hits. And I thought he had the antsiness above and beyond his perpetual motion delivery, which he talks about. And, you know, you watch him and it's funny. He's kind of like got the old Tim Tuffle shuffle going on back there, the way he's wiggling around. But he said after the game, you know, it's physics. You know, if you're in motion, you're going to be able to generate more power. I don't ever want to be standing still. You know, I want to be constantly in motion. So you get that part. I did think maybe there were a little bit of nerves. I didn't think he had his A-plus stuff for that first start with his new team. And as such, a lot of times he had given up a leadoff hit, a leadoff double. Yeah. And with all that said and only two Ks, to allow just two runs in six innings, I thought that was a very encouraging start. And I think he fits, you know, hand in glove with what the Padres want. He's high energy. He's got a lot of excitement. He's going to fit very well in with a club that's very celebratory and, you know, very enthusiastic in their display out on the field. He just really fits into all of that. And as you mentioned, 2 years of team control beyond this, you know, which is a lot of time for Mackenzie Gore and Luis Patino to grow into the roles that they're expected to grow into as not just big league pitchers, but, you know, commanding starters in a rotation. There's high hopes set on those two kids. So I think he's the perfect fit in. And quite frankly, I thought the Padres gave up more to get Austin Nola from Seattle than they gave up to get Clevinger from Cleveland. You know, maybe Gabriel Arias turns into a really good shortstop down the road. He's a young kid. But in terms of the big leaguers giving up, those were guys on the fringe and the bottom of the Padres roster. And they got a lot better as a result of that deal.
We're talking baseball with Craig Elston. He is the host of Make the Padres Great Again podcast, knows everything about the San Diego Padres, and it's great having you on a Labor Day. We appreciate your time. Let's go to the bullpen. There's a lot of little antics here with what he's using at different times, and one of the things you got back is Drew Pomeranz from the left-hand side. Of course, Kirby Yates is out for the year, and what does the Padres do? They go get Trevor Rosenthal, who brought it about 100 miles an hour the other day. Tell me a little bit about the bullpen, and what parts do they really want to go to at certain areas where they have the lead? I know Stamen's in there, Guerrero's in there, Tim Hill. Tell us your thoughts on that bullpen.
Well, it's been a bit of a mess the entire year. The intention, and the Padres put a lot of treasure behind this intention. You know, they made a trade with Tampa Bay to get Emilio Pagan, and Emilio Pagan was supposed to be the seventh or eighth inning guy in, you know, in tandem with Drew Pomeranz, who they gave a 4-year contract at $8 million a year for a lefty reliever. You know, really big scratch. Pomeranz is, and of course, those two guys were supposed to set up last year's fireman of the year, Kirby Yates. Well, Yates had bone chips in his elbow. He wasn't right from the start. He pitched terribly until he was sent to the injured list. He's probably, as a free agent, thrown his last pitch as a Padre. Pagan pitched, for the most part, terribly until it turns out, yeah, he's got elbow soreness. And now Pagan's on the injured list. He's on the shelf. Pomeranz spent some time on the shelf. He's back. But as you mentioned, the trade happened for Trevor Rosenthal. They have plugged him directly into that closer's role now. And in his first actual save attempt in Oakland, he was very much up to the task. And, you know, Rosenthal's a guy who, if you've watched him in his career, you know, he's going to have those outings where he comes out and he's behind 2-0, 3-0 all the time. You know, he averages 4.5 walks per nine in his career, but he averages 12 Ks per nine and one of the lowest home run ratios of an established reliever in Major League Baseball. So Rosenthal keeps the ball in the park. And when he's throwing the way he is right now, humping it up there 98 to 100 with a with a nice breaking ball, you know, he looks like a tremendous addition to the back. I will continue, because I was against the idea when it was the, and I want to establish this for people who know me, when it was the only thing being discussed as the Padres doing, not as one of eight players coming in. You know, I thought, hey, making a big trade for like eight innings of a reliever doesn't make sense. as things stand, Rosenthal's a great addition, and I mean, the Padres were selling the world around anyways. You've got to bring in some relief arms. I'll tell you the guy to watch out, though, for is Austin Adams. who came over in that Austin Nola deal with Seattle. Last year, Adams struck out something like 55 batters in 31 innings. He had the second highest K rate in Major League Baseball, and he's got a slider that's essentially unhittable. He's not coming back from an arm injury. He's coming back from a knee injury. He's almost back. And if he gets a couple innings and a couple chances to settle in, he could be a playoff weapon for the Padres that reminds you of K-Rod, you know, back in 2002 for the Angels. Someone who can come in and throw unhittable sliders and dominate a seventh or an eighth inning of a playoff game. I think he is a sneaky name to keep an eye on as he tries to come back in these last 20-plus games.
You know, one of the other trades, Craig, that I really thought was a good pickup was Mitch Moreland. I loved watching him hit, and he's fallen into a DH role. I know he's played some first base. When you saw him getting picked up, you had to have said, what's going on? Eric Hosmer's our first baseman. What did you think, and what have you seen out of Mitch Moreland so far?
Well, I mean, the first thought was terrific because the Padres didn't have a DH. You know, they were using the DH as a rotating position to give an everyday player a day of rest. You know, they really didn't have a DH at all. And so to get an actual established hitter that can provide a little fear and has a lot of postseason experience, I think that's what Mitch Moreland, more than anything, is bringing to the Padres right now. I mean, here's a guy who played in the World Series for Texas, who played in the World Series for Boston, and for a young club, you know, Hosmer's got that voice. Machado's made it to the World Series, you know, with the Dodgers. But to have a guy that's been there and gotten a ring with Boston, I think that was a big part of the reason why you get a Mitch Moreland. The flip of that trade as well is that what they gave up, Hudson Potts and Jason Rosario, two nice prospects, both of those guys needed to be placed on the Padres' 40-man roster at the end of the year. The Padres have had a roster crunch coming up where they were going to have to give away some guys for nothing. And both Potts and Rosario stood to be exposed to the Rule 5 draft. So to combine them to get a very affordable, albeit on the back end of his career, DH in Mitch Moreland, who can spot in and has a couple times at first base already and has a $3 million option for next year. I mean, he's hitting at a career high coming in. He has not hit that way so far for the Padres. I don't think Padres fans should expect him to hit any better than his career averages. But even that is an upgrade for San Diego and a good guy to have around the clubhouse, too.
Well, Craig, looking at the Padres' schedule, it's really a good sign for the Padres. They have 18 games left. 12 of them are at home. They enter today in a 10-game homestand, 3 against Colorado, 4 against San Francisco, and then 3 against L.A., which I think those are going to be 3 major games. Then they go to Seattle. Then the Angels come to Padres, and then they close out with the Giants for 3. What do you think about this schedule? 18 left, and 12 of them are at home.
Well, I tell you what, Mr. Lasky, I think the Padres are the number 2 team in baseball. I think the Dodgers are the runaway number 1, and I do think there are a couple of American League teams, especially if the Yankees got healthy. I don't know if they're going to ever get healthy, but if they did, they would be a very formidable opponent. I think the Padres stack up pretty well against everybody else. And the funny thing is, they're going to be the number 4 seed in the National League playoff bracket. It's almost a guarantee. I mean, they're the best second-place team right now. They've got a big lead for that best second-place team, and they're in the division with the number 1 team. You know, it's pretty hard to catch a Dodgers team that, you know, is, what, 30-11, I think? So it's not impossible, and the Padres have a soft schedule. It's not impossible that they could sneak up to number 1. You know what number 1 is starting to look like? A chance to maybe face Jake DeGrom in the first game of the
That's
playoffs.
That's right. It's true.
I mean, it's a health game, to be honest with you. I
can't think of a worse series, too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, a 3-game series, really good offense you're facing, and oh, by the way, here's Jake DeGrom. You know, you're down 1-0. You know, now your ass is against the wall. So I think it's fascinating. I think the Padres are really in a catbird seat position because right now, maybe it's the Phillies, maybe it's the Cardinals. You don't take any team for granted, but neither of those clubs truly scare you with their number one like a DeGrom. Mm-hmm. You know, Nola's a good pitcher. He's not of that level. And then you would, in theory, if they didn't get picked off, you would face the Dodgers in a best of 5. And that's where you want to face L.A. Yeah. You know, you don't want to face them in a best of seven. That's where they're a deadly team. In a best of three, a best of five, man, they're vulnerable. I've said this since the start of the year. The team that should be the most scared the whole year is the L.A. Dodgers.
Yep, because I agree.
Everything that makes them great is neutralized when you say first to two wins. Mm-hmm. And you don't get to use the depth and the extraordinary depth of your roster day after day to wear you down. Instead, it's like, nope, for one game, it's our best against your best. Oh, man, that's where the Dodgers get in trouble. So I think the Padres are exactly where they want to be with a chance to get a decent matchup in the first round at home and then a chance to face their rivals where it's only best of five. And that matchup, you know, the Padres have played seven games against the Dodgers this year. They're 3-4. They were 3-2 through five games. We kind of talked about that on Make the Padres Great Again. Like, they would have lost a best of five series, but they would have, or pardon me, they would have won a best of five series and they would have lost the best of seven in game seven, if that's what those things were. And that kind of reminds me of what I think the situation is. I like the Padres in five in a five game series, and I like the Dodgers in seven. If it went
down. Yeah, that's true. And that's exactly, I think that's what the Dodgers don't want to see. They don't want to see that NL West competing against them because everybody, you know, you competed against them. You played 10 games with them. So it's going to be interesting. And we always love your stuff, Craig Elston. Again, he is the host of Make the Padres Great Again podcast. I am sure you're getting a ton of more listeners on your podcast. And always great to talk to you, Craig. Great stuff. And hey, do the Giants a favor and maybe you can beat Colorado for three straight before the Giants come down and entertain you, but we'll be watching. And a great time.
No
again
problem.
Great stuff again, Craig, on a Labor Day, and I appreciate your time, and have a safe day.
Hey, you too. Happy Labor Day to everyone. Thanks a lot.
All right, that's Craig Elston. And